Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the third Sunday in Advent. Hope all of you are well. Please take a moment to fill out the pew pads at the end of the pew, and if you're a visitor, please give us contact information as well. Birthdays being celebrated this week are Cassie Edwards, Brady White, Sylvia Hoke, Regina Reese, Joyce O'Dell, Lois Stein, Peggy Barger, couples and celebrating anniversary, Kathy and Robert Ollis, Michael and Cheryl Cooper Holler. So if you see those folks, wish them well. Continued prayers are needed for Ann Williams, Beverly Edwards, Dean Eisenhower's home. He and Anita are both recovering together. Vicki Morgan is in the hospital at Fry on a ventilator. Kevin Ramsey's dad passed away earlier this week and was laid to rest yesterday. So keep those folks in our prayers. And also continue to pray for the call committee. Also pray for those who are in nursing homes or at home and cannot be with us. Hope all of you will join us for the children's Christmas program this evening and stay for the covered deal dish meal. That time is 5 o'clock. If you are a committee chair or liaison, your annual reports are due by the beginning of January. We are still needing your yellow time and talent sheets with service areas you are interested in. And please take note of the article by Gene Fry that is in the bulletin. This is regarding the sharing of our gifts that God has given to us. We're now using the new gym floor, but please keep it looking good, and it does look great. We want to keep street shoes off of that floor. We're excited to have new members joining us today. One joined at the early service. Angie Asherbrand joined then, and John Eckerd will be joining us this morning. Are there any other announcements that we need to bring to the congregation? If not, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Stephen's. If you're a visitor, we're so glad that you're here. We hope you'll return often. Please rise as you are able for the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the parent who rouses us from slumber, the shepherd who gathers us on the holy mountain, the deliverer who sets us free.
Amen.
Let us come before God in confession. As we wait and watch for the promised day of salvation, we open our hearts to you, O God. Search us and know us. Reveal all that we keep inside. To you, O God, we confess our sins, known and unknown. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us in your ways of justice and peace. Make us reflections of the radiant love of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Beloved children of the Most High, you are gathered before the righteous judge who has mercy on all. Splash exuberantly in the waters of baptism, where sin is washed away in the river of life. Dwell peacefully in the loving arms of the one who nurtures all creation. Go forth boldly in the assurance that your sins are forgiven, in the name of the one who is coming and is already here, Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Stir up the wills of all who look to you, Lord God, and strengthen our faith in your coming, that transformed by grace, we may walk in your way. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
First lesson is from the 35th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the first verse. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongues of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool. And the thirsty ground springs of water, the haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it will be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, everlasting joy upon their heads. They will obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here ends the reading.
This is a time during worship that I have a chance to talk to the younger folks in the congregation. Don't know that we have. Maybe some, sure. Good morning. It's great to see you today. Have you had a pretty good week? Well, this is the third Sunday in Advent. And that's our Advent wreath. And we have two candles that are already burning. And in a little bit, we're going to light a third candle. And that is the shepherd's candle. It's going to be the candle of joy. Because when the shepherds heard that there had been a baby born, the Messiah, the Savior, they were filled with joy. Now, next Sunday, as we move toward Christmas, we're going to take our little baby Jesus and we're going to place baby Jesus in the manger over here. Now, the manger scene has been out here, but this afternoon, as you two know, there's going to be a pageant, a Christmas pageant. So we move that over there because there'll be all kinds of things here. There'll be a large manger here and people will be around, a lot of young people. So we've had moved the manger scene over there. Now, last Sunday, remember we had the baby Jesus? Remember? And we took the baby Jesus, and one of our folks who was at the early service today, John, took the baby Jesus, and you remember where he placed the baby? On the altar. So what I'd like for us to do today is to go get the baby Jesus on the altar, and then I'd like for you to think of a place where we can put the baby Jesus. We're going to move Jesus closer to the manger where he will be next Sunday. We're going to move him from wherever we place him today into the manger next Sunday. So let's go get baby Jesus. Just go up with me. And the baby is here on the altar. Now we want to somehow get the baby Jesus closer to the crib or the manger, but not actually place him in. So one of you want to get the baby Jesus, and we're going to place that baby somewhere closer. And he'll just stay there the rest of the week. So where do you want to? It's up to you. Wherever you want to put the baby Jesus. Now remember, there's going to be a lot of activity up here tonight. So we want to place the baby somewhere that he doesn't get knocked away. Okay, very good. We'll place the baby there. And he'll be there next Sunday. And next Sunday, during the children's sermon, we'll place the baby Jesus right over here. Now, we have to wait until next week because we have to wait in Advent. We just kind of wait for the birth of Jesus. When I was your age, I used to think that the time between Thanksgiving and Christmas just took forever. Just that waiting. I'd see presents around. I'd have to wait to open them. But it won't be long. We'll be very close. So thank you for coming up. The Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you.
Speaking of the Advent candle,
on the third Sunday of Advent, we light the shepherd's candle, the candle of joy, as we remember the joy of the shepherds upon hearing the birth of Jesus. We wait for the day when everlasting joy will be on each of us. We remember the Lord who breathes joy into our lives.
second lesson is from the fifth chapter of James, beginning with the seventh verse. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Here ends the reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal places. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Let us pray. Good and gracious and loving God, we gather here on the third Sunday in Advent, awaiting the birth of Jesus and awaiting the return of Jesus as judge. We ask that you might bless us as we wait. We try to figure out how John the Baptist relates to the story of Jesus, our Lord. So we ask, O Lord, that you might speak and that we might hear. Amen. Growing up, I used to love to hear all these wonderful fairy tales that Mother and Dad and my relatives would tell to me. We used to hear the story of the three little pigs, the three billy goats Gruff. One of the most popular and one of the oldest fairy tales of all is the story of Cinderella. In fact, strains of the story of Cinderella go back to the year 7 BC. That's a long, long time. It was only published, though, in 1644. A marvelous story. You know it, perhaps. It's the story of the man who had a little daughter, Cinderella, he and his wife. His wife died. He remarried a woman who had two daughters about the same age as Cinderella. Then Cinderella's father died, and the stepmother and her two biological daughters treated Cinderella terribly. She was like a servant girl. The king, where they lived, had a young son, and he thought it was time for his son to find a wife and marry to have a son who could be prince and later king. So the king had a great party, and he invited all of the girls who were eligible to marry the king to this big party. Well, Cinderella wanted to go. She heard the news, but her sisters, her stepsisters and her stepmother made sure she could not attend. So as they left for the party, Cinderella's fairy godmother visited her and made it possible for her to go to the party. She gave her beautiful clothes to wear, some beautiful glass slippers. She put her in a carriage, looked like a pumpkin, and pulled by beautiful black horses. Now, this story was also called, at times, the little glass slipper. But the fairy godmother told her, "You go to the party, but beware, because at midnight the spell will break and everything will return to as it was before." Cinderella walked into the party. She was absolutely beautiful, and the prince fell in love with Cinderella immediately. They danced the evening away, the prince and Cinderella. About 5 minutes till midnight, Cinderella remembered her spell was going to be broken at midnight, and she ran away. As she was running through, one of her glass slippers came off of her foot. And then at midnight, she returned to the way she was before. The prince found that glass slipper, and he decided, "I'm going to find this young woman that I love and make her my bride." Week after week, he searched the countryside, going to every place he could find to see if he could find someone whose foot fit the glass slipper. Finally, he went to Cinderella's house. Her two stepsisters tried on the glass slipper. They could not force their foot into that slipper. And the prince inquired anyone else around, and they said, "Well, we have a sister over here, but you don't want her to try it on." And he said, "Oh, yes, I do. She came, put this glass slipper on, and it fit." And the prince and Cinderella were married, and they lived happily ever after. It's a great story. Now, in today's gospel lesson, we find John the Baptist. Now, John has a glass slipper. He knows exactly what he's looking for because he's the one that baptized Jesus. He's the one who saw the Holy Spirit come down, and God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You got to believe at that moment, John thought he had found a person that fit this glass slipper. John already knew what he was looking for. He was looking for an earthly king. He was looking for someone who would bring judgment. He was looking for someone who would rule the earth, do away with the Roman Empire, do away with all those people that were causing difficulty. And why wouldn't John think that? John's in prison, remember? He's in prison, thinks he's probably going to be killed, and here's this person he thinks is going to rule is not doing anything like what he had expected. John surely was troubled. He wasn't sure at all about this Jesus. At first, he thought that Jesus should baptize him. Jesus ate with sinners. He preached love. He brought comfort. He healed people. It was a radical departure from the kind of slipper that John had in mind. New kind of theology. So John, in prison, visited by some of his disciples, and John had disciples just like Jesus. So John sent a couple of his disciples out into the countryside to visit with Jesus. And John's question was, through his disciples, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the one we've been expecting? Or should we look for someone else?" Jesus, as oftentimes he didn't answer yes or no. He said to John's disciples, "You go tell John to look what's happened. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf can hear, the dead are raised, and I'm telling people to lean on God because God is on their side." And then after the disciples leave, Jesus, I think, not wanting to degrade John, not wanting to speak ill of John, begins to talk about John to the people who were there and has heard the message that he sent back to John. So Jesus says to the people there, what were you expecting from John? Were you expecting a reed shaking in the wind? Were you expecting someone that's kind of wishy-washy? You don't know what they really mean? Or they say this one day and something else another day? Were you expecting someone to come in silk-like pajamas rather than camel's hair? What were you looking for? Were you looking for a prophet? Then he says, if you're looking for a prophet, then that's what you got. Because John is the greatest of all the prophets. He came, just like Malachi predicted 400 years ago, to fulfill that prophecy. Because Malachi said a prophet was coming to prepare the way for the Messiah, and that's exactly what you got. And he said, John is the greatest of all born among women. What an affirmation of John. People oftentimes didn't know exactly who Jesus was. They weren't clear. Remember, Satan said in the wilderness, if you're the Son of God. The disciples said, who is this guy? Even the waves obey him. Pilate said, are you the king? The mob said when Jesus was up on the cross, if you're the Son of God, then come down from that cross. People continually doubted. People had questions about who Jesus was. And even today, we still walk by faith, but there's not a person here who hasn't at some point had a doubt. Could this story, as wonderful it is, really be true? So we step by faith. Martin Luther said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. John and many others doubted Jesus. But here's the point that you really need to hear. Jesus did not doubt John. And that's our hope that comes to us in faith. A few years ago, the Washington Post did a videotaping of the commuters going to and fro in Washington, D.C. subway. Washington Post placed a violinist there in the subway, and there were thousands of people going back and forth over these 3-4 hours that the violinist played the violin. And at the end of those hours, the violinist probably had $15-$20 in the case that the violin was in. Now, it looked like an ordinary day. I mean, those things happen all the time, where you have people in airport subways playing, hoping to make a little bit of money. But it wasn't a regular kind of situation. You see, the person playing the violin that was being taped was Joshua Bell. He was one of the greatest violinists in the world. And he wasn't playing just any old violin. He was playing a multi-million-dollar Stradivarius violin. And 3 days earlier, he'd been playing in Boston Symphony Hall, and people had paid $100 a seat plus to get in to hear him play the violin. The question the Washington Post had, do we recognize something that's wonderful and great if it's not expected? How do we look for God? Now, if you think about it, today you have plenty of opportunities to see God. You're in church. My goodness, we're going to be receiving the sacrament, the body and blood of Christ. Later today, there will be a beautiful pageant here. 3 congregations will participate. We'll have a chance to gather around the meal afterward. You see worshipers here in church, people you know and love. Ways in which at the end of this day we can look back and say, yeah, I saw God. But what about this next week, Monday through Saturday? At the end of the day, think about it. Where have you seen God? I recommend that you do that and ask, where did I see God today? And I think every day you'll see moments and times where you didn't necessarily expect to see God, but God was truly present. The second lesson for today is from James. Now, tradition tells us that that book in the New Testament was written by James, the brother of Jesus. Now, in the sixth chapter of Mark, we know that Jesus had brothers. In fact, they're even named. And we think James, since he was listed first, was the oldest of the brothers. James and Joes and Judas and Simon and other sisters. But John in the seventh chapter says that James, who wrote James, did not believe that Jesus was the Savior of the world until after Easter. But then James became a leader in the church, and tradition says that he was instrumental in the growth of the church there in Jerusalem. Legend says that James was stoned or either thrown from the pinnacle of the temple. But in the lesson today that we just heard read, James says that we should be patient, we should wait just like the farmer who waits, we shouldn't grumble, and we know that all people suffer from time to time. And all people have doubts. That's a part of the journey of faith. Abraham and Moses and David and Paul, they all doubted and questioned. Fred Craddock is a professor, seminary professor, and he has this marvelous story that he tells about how he and his wife, taking a break one summer from teaching, visited Gatlinburg, Tennessee. They were there for a couple of weeks, and one morning early, they went to a local restaurant there in downtown Gatlinburg. And they got over in the corner so they wouldn't be disturbed. And as they were ordering their meal, they noticed an elderly, white-haired, distinguished-looking gentleman going from table to table, visiting with all the people who were there for breakfast. So they tried not to look at the man, and Fred whispered to his wife, "I hope he doesn't come over here. I'd just like a break from people." Well, it wasn't long until this gentleman came over, pulled up a chair, and sat down. And he said to them, "Where are you from and what do you do?" And Fred Craddock kind of threw him off, said, "Well, I'm a seminary professor and I teach homiletics." He thought he wouldn't know what he was talking about. He said, "Oh, you teach preachers how to preach." He said, "Well, I've got a preacher's story for you." He said, as he looked out the window, he said, "You see that mountain right over there?" He said, "Well, down in the holler just below," those of us who live in the mountains often call them hollers instead of valleys. In fact, I grew up in a holler. He said, "Well, you see that holler over there, just be over that is a holler just over the mountain." He said, "I grew up in that holler." He said, "And as I was growing up," he said, "I never knew my dad." He said, "I didn't even know anything about my father." And he said, "People made fun of that, and I felt so unself-conscious about it." He said, "People were really very cruel to me." He said, "A new preacher came to town, and I went to hear the preacher." He said, "And I liked what the preacher had to say, and he said I would go late and leave early so I didn't have to talk to anybody." He said, "But one day, I was leaving, trying to get out of the church. I got caught because some people were visiting out in the church, and he said I couldn't get away, and he said I felt someone on hand on my shoulder. I looked around," he said, "and it was the preacher." And he said, "The pastor said to me," the preacher, "Who's your daddy?" And he said, "I just kind of froze." And everyone kind of got quiet. And he said, "The preacher said, wait a minute. I know who your daddy is. I see the family resemblance. You're a child of God. That's your inheritance," he said, "the preacher said. Go out there and claim it." And he said, "That changed my life." He said, "I never saw life the same again. I saw myself as a child of God, and God was my father." He said it was a turning moment in my life. And he left. And before he left, though, Fred Craddock said, "What is your name?" He was enthralled by this guy. He said, "My name is Ben Hooper." And then Fred Craddock remembered that Ben Hooper had been elected as the governor two times in the state of Tennessee. It had changed his life. Remember what John, and what Jesus sent back to John? He said to John, "Look and see what's happening. People see, people walk, people hear, people are cleansed, and people are being raised up. When we're weak, Jesus joins us. When we're insecure, Jesus holds us. When we're afraid, our Lord Jesus comforts us. You see, because of what Jesus sent back to John, that people are raised up. That means one thing. That means that we can live happily ever after. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Today we receive a new member, John Eckerd. Brent Talley is going to be his sponsor, so I'll invite John to come on up, and Bridget will come over and join us. The next date for receiving new members will probably be, it'll be Palm Sunday or Easter, we're not sure just which. Come on up, John. John, we welcome you as a member of St. Stephen's Church to join with us in worshiping God, hearing His Word, and sharing in His Holy Supper. Proclaiming the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, serving all people and striving for justice and peace in all the earth. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for John and for all the members of this congregation. By your life-saving power, bind us to each other and to you. Strengthen us for service, O Lord. Support us all the days of our life and bring us at length to that day when all of your children will be one and we will be all in all. We ask, O Lord, that we might continue to serve and please you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. John, welcome to St. Stephen's. I have a care package here for you. It has information about the St. Stephen's Church and a certificate of membership. So we're so blessed that you can join us for ministry together.
Thank you.
May God go with you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much, John. The idea of a sponsor is that someone will be walking with John in his new membership so that they help him to incorporate himself into the life of the church.
Keeping awake as we watch for Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Holy God, we rejoice that your promises take on flesh in Jesus. Grant patience to your church, awaiting the fulfillment of the reign of justice and peace. Restore in us the hope that we are called to proclaim to the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Life-giving God, we rejoice that you coax flowers from the desert and water from the wilderness. Send rain to parched fields and sun to flooded plains. Nurture all that lies sleeping under frozen ground. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, we rejoice in your authority as Prince of Peace. Deliver us from those who wield power through unjust and oppressive ways. Raise up prophets to speak your truth in this and every nation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, we rejoice that you dwell in human bodies. Renew signs of your joyful presence in people of all shapes, sizes, ages, and ability. We pray especially for the family of Ronald Ramsey, Ann Williams, Beverly Edwards, Vicki Morgan, Andrea Little, Jesse Cavender, Margie and Richard Powell, and Ralph Mauser. Empower all to embrace their callings and the gifts of your Spirit. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, we rejoice that you create us to praise you. Strengthen the voices and hands of all who prepared to celebrate Christ's birth with music, dancing, and proclamation in worship and in the community. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Eternal God, we rejoice that all who die in Christ are raised to new life. We thank you for the lives of those who have prepared the way for us and have now joined the great cloud of witnesses. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You hear the cries of our hearts, O Lord. Fill us with hopeful expectation that in each day and hour we may love and serve our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Giver of every good thing, we set before you the gifts that you have already given to sustain our lives and to share with others. Help us to be good stewards of the earth and all that is in it. And let our lives be a testimony to the abundant feast you prepare for all who hunger. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached the good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. God of abundance, we give you thanks in this holy meal that you have invited us to feast with you and one another. May the taste of your love remain with us, and may our words and our work in your name invite others into your bountiful grace. Send us from your table to proclaim your presence, even as we await the glorious coming of Christ our Savior. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace to serve and love the Lord and live happily ever after.